I don't know what the deal is. There may be some big clouds out there rolling around, but the temp's up and down, up and down. Can't make up its mind, for crying out loud.
That's what makes West Texas interesting.
Well, yeah. Hey, there's a campaign going on. It is now underway, and it's in conjunction with the Texas Department of State Health Services. And Chris Van Dusen, who is the information officer with the Texas Department of State Health Services, on the line. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Morning, Tom. Thanks.
The name of this proper is Speak Your Mind, Community Conversation on Mental Health, yes?
Yeah, the campaign itself is called Speak Your Mind Texas, and that's really, you know, that's sort of where we're starting with this, is trying to get a conversation going so people can talk about mental health and substance abuse in their communities. It's a lot of times people are uncomfortable talking about that, whether it's their own issues, family members, or what they see going on around them. So the idea of the campaign and really of these conversations is to start that dialogue, get people talking about mental health and mental illness, what's going on in their communities, and work together to see if there are solutions that the community can come up with.
Yeah, I know that this is far-reaching and far more prevalent than most people even realize. The event that you're actually having here in Lubbock is going to be at the Legacy Event Center.
Yep, downtown there on Thursday morning, 8:30 to 11:30.
Yeah, that would be tomorrow.
Yep.
What do people need to do if they would like to be a part of this? Do they just show up?
You can go to speakyourmindtexas.org and register. It's we're encouraging people to RSVP through the website if they can. But certainly, if you can't do that for some reason, that gives us we can gauge how many people are going to show up. But if you can't, you're still invited. There's certainly plenty of room for walk-ins if you're available in the morning.
Okay. And what is the span of this actual campaign as far as time goes, and how do you see this developing? Is this the first of many?
It is, this is the first kind of round of conversations. We're having 16 of these conversations around the state. The campaign's also being supported by some TV and radio ads and PSAs, some online advertising, to really just sort of spark this dialogue. But it's funded by, it's part of about $300 million that the legislature introduced in new funding in the last session for mental health and substance abuse issues. And so this is a small part of that, but it's an important part in trying to keep that dialogue going. So this is going to continue into next year, and then it certainly could continue after that. That's going to depend on the funding, but these conversations are really the initial step in addressing and just one small step in addressing some of the mental health needs of Texas.
And is there a cost for this tomorrow?
No, there's not. It's completely free. It's something that's funded through the State Health Department, and we're really working with local partners as well. So we've got StarCare, which provides mental health services in the area. Texas Tech is on board. We're really trying to tailor each conversation to what the community wants to see and what, folks in Lubbock really want to hear about and talk about. So there's no cost involved. We would encourage anybody, especially people who deal with young people, because so often mental health issues can start in younger life, in teens and adults. We know, in fact, that half of all cases of mental illness begin before age 14, three-quarters by age 24. And so that's what we hope. We can start this dialogue, get people to see the signs and symptoms of mental health or substance abuse issues, step in and help young people before it snowballs and becomes a bigger problem in later life.
Absolutely.
Laura, I was kind of wondering what, as far as the focus of where this is, of how far-reaching this touches people, because correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but mental illness is not just considered like bipolar disorder or multiple personality disorder. A lot of these, a lot of mental illness can be onset by neglect, abuse, things like that, yes or no?
Yeah, certainly that's an issue, and really just, the daily events that people deal with in their lives, whether it's grieving for, a lost loved one, or, as you mentioned, some sort of abuse and neglect with a child or with a spouse. We know that about 20%, one in five Americans will have some sort of mental health issue during their life. And then 1 in 20 will develop a serious illness, like you talked about, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, those kinds of things. So this is something that, you know, and that's part of the conversation as well, is that this is out there. I certainly, there are people in my life that I know have mental health issues and concerns, and probably just about everybody out there does. So, you know, that's really one of the first steps to addressing the problem, is making people understand how common this is, and that it's not something that you have to be ashamed of. There's help out there. People get better when they get appropriate treatment, and working together, we can all help whoever it is that needs to get that help to receive it.
Yeah, and that's key, is getting people to get over that the stigma that they think is attached to getting help.
It is, and that's, you know, that's really where we started with this campaign and with these community conversations, is trying to get people who are interested around a table, talk about how we can address these things, and, you know, in various communities around Texas, Lubbock included. So if people are available, if this is something that hits close to home for you, or something you have an interest in, please do join us at the Legacy Event Center tomorrow.
Yeah, I had another question.
Sure.
Let's juxtapose this next to the numbers of awareness or recognition. Now, I know, speaking with Janice Magnus, she's with the Burkhart Center for Autism on Texas Tech University's campus. We've had her in several times. Now, years and years and years ago, they would identify, what was it, 1 in 60,000 as autistic or on the spectrum. You know, now they've reeled that in, and they're recognizing it. It's 1 in 3 digits.
Right.
Are there any kind of numbers like that that you can juxtapose as far as what are forecasted people that are affected by mental illness?
You know, I don't. Other than that, we know that that 20% figure that's the latest research, and that tells us that in their lifetime, about 20% of Americans will suffer from some sort of mental health issue. So I don't know what the change over time is, but I think hopefully as we continue to have these conversations, people will come out of the shadows a little bit more. Maybe they can identify themselves, and you know, that's some of it too. We're trying to equip people, and you can find a lot more information at speakermindtexas.org. But on how to identify people in their lives who may be suffering from some sort of mental health issue, some sort of mental illness. And then, of course, we want to equip people to spot it in themselves, because sometimes that's difficult. When you're in the midst of a crisis or in the midst of a problem like this, you may not even, you know, be able to see yourself that there's a mental health component of it. So it's trying to equip people, you know, who can look at themselves, and then, you know, loved ones, friends and family and neighbors who can identify a problem as well.
I would think the most common problem that people would deal with would be depression. Is that the most common?
That certainly is a common one. I don't know for sure that it is the most common, but it is common. And of course, there's a huge range with depression, as with any mental illness. Mm-hmm. It can be mild. It can be extremely severe, to the point that it's very debilitating. But wherever somebody falls in that range, you know, they can benefit from some sort of assistance, whether it's counseling, whether it's medication, whether it's inpatient treatment on the very serious end of things, and so that's part of, you know, that's really part of the conversation, trying to make people aware of the range of options, the range of solutions that are out there for the range of illnesses.
Right,
Chris. This Speak Your Mind community conversation on mental health is the first in Lubbock. 16 so far scheduled around the state, maybe more. Give us the event venue and the time again for tomorrow.
Sure thing. It's tomorrow at the Legacy Event Center. We start at 8:30 to 11:30. Even if you can't be there super early, come on by. And if you can, feel free to RSVP at speakermindtexas.org. But as I said, even if you can't, you're still welcome tomorrow.
All right. Chris Van Dusen, we'll stay in touch, okay?
Sounds good, Tom. Thanks.
Have a fantastic day.
You too.
It's 8:26. Good morning. Now, Governor Perry has said that September 9 is going to be the day for the special election.
Mm-hmm.
According to Dorothy Kennedy, Lubbock County election supervisor, she's quoted in the Avalanche Journal as saying that $350,000 to $400,000 is what it's going to actually cost for the special election.
Ouch.
Now, the thing is, we did talk to Dorothy several weeks ago when we had the runoff with District 1. Or, I'm sorry, not District 1, District 3 City Council. She said that she had already been, and they had been preparing for this because it was imminent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is a hurry-up-go thing. It's just a situation where we're not waiting to the general election. So that's how much it costs to set all this stuff up and to actually operate the election. So that's what taxpayers are on the hook for. But positioning that and evaluating that against the pros and cons of waiting, I had a conversation with Ken Corbin a little earlier. He's here at the station, but also, you know, he's in the mix politically on the local scene. And, you know, relatively speaking, there's a good possibility we might have a runoff election anyway. But on the other side of the sword, if you don't have representation until late in the year, that means when the legislature convenes in January, that you have people that aren't really up to snuff and up to speed. And, you know, there are also some issues with seniority, especially with Charles Perry, should he be elected. So that would be a favorable and a plus for our area, just because he's already in the Texas legislature and has those relationships. Anyway, we'll be following that and give you more as it unfolds. It's 8:28. Chad Hastie is coming up next. Don't forget Moonlight Musicals tomorrow and the special of the day today, Catalina's Combination Plate, $8.50 plus tax. See you later. Bye.